Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is the third time that I'm saying this. We had some studio problems this evening, so please bear with us. You're listening to Star of the Beast Network. Star of the Beast Network is your independent streaming internet radio and libertarian voice broadcasting from our Tulsa, our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, November 26th, and sponsored by Ranch Acres Audiology in Tulsa. Call 918-749-7711 for all your hearing needs. Ranch Acres Audiology, where hearing is fashionable. This radio broadcast is your antidote to popular talk radio, regardless of political affiliation, where you will be expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, you will find that libertarian principles of individual freedom are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. Folks, we must starve that beast now before the beast in the form of a bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding political structures. We need to be revolutionaries in thought. Only after we recognize what government is doing to our freedom will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to mention that this segment of our program is when we have someone come in and we'll interview them. And before we do that, I'd like to make mention that you can contact us live here at the studio via AOL Instant Messenger by simply dialing STB Internet Radio at AIM.com. Even better, you can reach us via Skype Internet Phone. Simply dial or type in Star of the Beast, one word, lowercase, and it'll ring to our studio. Of course, at any time, you can send us email, liberty@starofthebeast.net. That's liberty@starofthebeast.net. Okay, and now on to our program this evening. Oh, I want to mention one other thing before we start. This is Star of the Beast Network. We will be changing our station affiliation or name. It will soon be called Liberty Talk Radio, but we will keep you informed of that, okay, and more about that later. This evening, we are pleased to have with us Mr. Campbell Cook. Mr. Cook is an immigration attorney. He is on the board of directors of the Tulsa Metro Ministries. He's on the board of directors of the Coalition of Hispanic Organizations and the board of directors Legal Assistance of Victims Under Domestic Violence. That's DVIS. And tonight, he's here to speak to us about his perspective on the immigration issue, one which has been and still is a very divisive issue. Good evening, Campbell. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
We know Sunday evening is not the most convenient time. It's a time when we like to wind down and sort of forget the weekend and forget the week coming up. And I invite you over here.
We've got to try and recover and boot back up again after Turkey on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're really pleased to have you here. We know it's somewhat of a sacrifice to make take a Sunday out. We appreciate that very much. Campbell, the whole immigration issue is one that I have done a three-part series on very, very recently. I make no bones about it. I consider the immigration problem a solution looking for a problem in many ways. But I'd like to hear your general perspective on the immigration, what we consider the immigration problem today. Can you give us an overall umbrella comment?
Well, sure. First of all, I don't think we've actually figured out what the problem is. Secondly, if you don't figure out what the problem is, you can't start working towards a solution. And I truly believe that if you cut through the political spin and the political rhetoric and you get down to the real issues at the bottom of it, then it boils down to border mismanagement. That's really what it boils down to. People are scared that they are going to lose America as they perceive America to be. People are scared they're going to lose their jobs. People are scared that we've got an invasion and Mexico's trying to take back the southwest of the United States. It all boils down to one thing. It's border mismanagement. Mm-hmm. It's plain and simple.
So this is a fear factor,
in our political machine is playing on that fear factor for its own political gains, I guess.
Right. And I'm not saying that there isn't a problem, because there is a problem.
What do you say to those people who tell you, well, look, all these people, you know, it's always these people. Now, we've always had these people coming into the United States. In fact, we were these people when we came here and the Indians were here, and we did a nice job of moving them out of the way, didn't we?
Yeah, we got rid of the Indians, we got rid of the Mexicans.
Right, we got rid of everyone, and now we don't want anyone else. We want a regular. But when we say, what are we going to do with all these people coming in? Look how routing they are. They're uneducated. We can't handle all these people coming in. They're taking advantage of the welfare state. We can't afford it. We've got to do something about that. And that's the general logic that I hear from most people.
Well, what I've heard from most of the people is, I'm going to lose my job, and they're not paying into the system, and yet they're drawing resources from the system. Those are the two biggest fears. Hmm. If you look at the way that the taxes are collected in order to support most of the welfare systems that they say that are being drained, you'll see that the money's being paid into that by the people who are working here without permission. They pay their taxes one way or another. With regards to people losing their jobs, we've got the lowest unemployment that we've ever had, according to President Bush in the White House, and I've got no reason to dispute him on that fact at all. So how can it be that our economy is booming, we've got more jobs than ever being created, we have the lowest unemployment, and yet our jobs are being stolen? It just doesn't. It's 2 + 2 = 5. It just doesn't go.
Now, being an immigration attorney,
sure.
When I know what that means, I think, all right, what are you defending? Who are you defending, and what type of things do you defend, so to speak? What areas?
What I defend and what I stand for is legal immigration. People who come to the United States, they want to do this properly. The system, unfortunately, is not very flexible. You shouldn't need an immigration attorney. You shouldn't need one. But the system has been designed in order to accommodate, it creates the need for an attorney, because you try and work your way through that maze on your own, you will never make it. You'll never make it. You have to have an attorney, and you shouldn't need one. So I stand for legal immigration. I stand for the rule of law. Let's do this properly.
All right, now, those who are attempting to become citizens or attain the right to work here legally, sure, distrust or dislike any government intervention regarding allowing the illegal immigrants from becoming, from being grandfathered in, so to speak, being automatic, because they've worked hard to attain their citizenship,
sure,
or their status. And they resent the fact that those who have not, that came in here illegally, are going to be handed the same thing that they had to work for. Is that true?
Yes, there is a lot of resentment. But you can't think that people have just floated across the border and now they're getting citizenship or permanent residence or temporary work visas. It doesn't work that way. The people who get these things under special programs have been here, and they have sweated and struggled and paid in, and they've been here for years. So it's not a case of they float across the border and the next thing you know they're getting a green card or a free pass from Washington. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. However, having said that, yes, there is. There's a lot of resentment from the people who have done it legally because it is so hard. And whenever you see elections coming up, either midterm or presidential, They always do immigrant bashing. And it starts off with stop the illegal immigrants. And then illegal gets dropped off the word, and then it just becomes immigrants. And that does. That causes a large backlash, and it causes a lot of emotional resentment, which is well-founded.
I listened to a speech by Roy Beck, who was on the internet,
sure,
that was given to me. And he said something interesting. He said only 25% of the immigrants coming in are, in fact, from Mexico. Is that about true from your perspective? Do you know that?
25% are from Mexico?
Yeah.
And you're talking about total immigrants?
Yes.
That's very possible.
Yeah, okay. And that surprised me. I thought it would be higher than that. Let me
get on to that. Why do they jump? Most of the immigration that comes into the United States are people who come from foreign countries and they come here for work. And they are in the top percentage academically or in their specialized field worldwide. You are getting the best and brightest from overseas. And that is a majority of the people who are coming in and immigrating to the United States. So when you say stop immigration, and I've heard the cry, stop immigration, have a moratorium on it. That's who you're stopping from coming in. You're stopping the Albert Einsteins. You're stopping the people that we need.
Well, then we have a real problem because we're stopping the brain trust that we need coming in. But then we have those people who are performing work in factories, for example, chicken factories, meat processing factories, in the fields, that you couldn't get a, quote, American to work at point of gun.
Correct.
Now, here's my problem. Let me ask a question first before we get to my problem, because I have a lot of problems, but
I don't want to ask them. Most of these I don't want to put on the air, but never mind.
But what, I mean, I know it constitutes an illegal alien, anyone who crosses the border doesn't go through the regular channels. Sure. But why do we have that? Why don't they just go through the regular channels and, you know, sign their name or get a passport or whatever and come in, and then they're legal, and then they can pick all the fruit and work in all the factories that they want. Everyone's a happy camper.
Well, most of the clients I get that want to have their immigration status fixed entered the country for the sole purpose of performing temporary labor. They send the money back home to Mexico or Guatemala or Salvador, wherever it is, and they only plan to be here. I'll be here for a couple of seasons. I'm going home. I'll be here next year. I'll work a couple of seasons, go home. And that's how they, and it's a migratory flow. So what did we decide to do? We decided to put unrealistic quotas on how many people can get visas to come in to do that. 65,000 per year. That doesn't even start to solve the problem, right? So even if the consulate, U.S. consulate, wanted to give those people visas to come in, they can't. They're not allowed to. And that's an act of Congress that stops them from doing it. Well, hang on a second, Joe. It gets better. It gets much better, okay. Right? So we then have a pattern of illegal migration flowing backwards and forwards, which we've now created. We've got work here. We're offering them work. They have no work there. They're starving. They don't have money. Hell, I would do it if I was down there. And I think most of the people in their situation would.
I agree.
Right. So they float backwards and forwards and everyone's benefiting. So what do? We start building a fence in 1994. So what does that do? It stops people not only from coming in, but it stops the people here inside from going back. So we now cause a bottleneck. The people who are motivated to come in and who have jobs and want to feed their families, a fence is not going to stop them.
Correct.
They're coming in.
Right.
So people will continue to stream in, and the harder it gets to come in, the longer they're going to stay here, because they're going to get everything that they want to get achieved. Instead of spending 10 years of going backwards and forwards and working, they're now going to spend 10 years in the country working, send everything home, and then
go back.
Yeah. So we actually, in actual fact, we've created our own problem.
Do you know how our legislators arrived at 65,000? That seems like an awfully small figure. How do they arrive at that figure?
I have no idea.
Now, if they took that from 65 to 650,000, then we wouldn't have an illegal immigration problem, most likely.
No, then you'd have an issue of how many temporary workers do you need.
Right.
And why put a limit on it?
Oh, no, I agree. Well, here's my problem.
And you may find when they figured out 65,000 way back in 1980 or whenever it was that they figured it out, that was what they needed.
Right.
We now have a retiring baby boomer population. We have a young and up-and-coming workforce that doesn't want to do manual labor.
Right.
They want college degrees. They want instant wealth now. And, hell, good for them. I'm glad. But who's going to do that work?
Right. Well, here's my problem.
Okay.
The United States used to be an open immigration country, totally open, through 1925, and then there were quotas put on after that. We say that, you know, in our Statue of Liberty, and I'll quote, Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And yet, when the Statue of Liberty was assembled here, in New York, I think just 4 years before that, our legislators passed a law stating that people, of poor health, people with jail records, criminals, were not permitted to come in. But they also included a third one, and that was the Chinese.
Correct.
And they threw the Chinese. So we've always been very prejudiced. Now, of course, that's no longer the case. But we've always been very prejudiced towards people. And at the same time, we say, give us your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. There seems to be some sort of contradiction there. The hypocrisy of the whole thing. My company is an industrial health testing company. Sure. We go to factories. Many factories are 90% Spanish-speaking people, not because the company only hires Spanish-speaking people, is that those are the only people available. And yet, everyone knows that there's a portion of those people who are illegal.
Sure.
We all know that. I mean, I know going in, I know who they are. I don't know their names, but I know by the law of large numbers, there's got to be a few in there. And yet they're performing a service, but yet we want to make them felons. Now, I know you don't agree with illegal immigration, but what about that person who risks their lives crossing the desert
Sure.
to get a job to feed their family just because there's this artificial quota?
Are you talking about what about the person who's here?
Yeah, I mean, the person who's coming over right now. I mean, as of today, coming over, risking his or her life so they can work here to send money home to feed their family, but yet they're coming illegally, and they're an illegal alien.
Didn't we invite them?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah.
We've invited them in.
Yes.
So I think it's wrong to invite somebody in, let them come in, use their labor, use their services, and then when it's convenient, pull the rug out from them, put them in jail, and ship them back home.
Now, when you say we invited them in, explain that to our audience, please.
Well, it's a well-known fact that if you have no work in Mexico or Guatemala, there are U.S. businesses that will hire you. And there are routes to come into the United States. There are people that ferry undocumented aliens into the United States. Everybody knows this. This is not a secret fact. So until such time as the desire to enter the United States is shut off, and that would be businesses, don't hire them anymore. They will continue to come, and we will continue to have the problem.
Okay, so it's an implied invitation, basically.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we don't send out a notice in the Mexico City Daily saying workers wanted. Please cross it at the Yucca border.
Right.
I mean, to the Yucca tribes.
What is?
Let me think about this.
Okay.
Right. You're in Mexico, and every year you cross the border in Arizona. You come and work for me, right in my factory, and you make whatever it is, prefabricated roofing panels. Every year you come up, every year I give you a job, at the end of the season, you go back home December. Your friends come up with, now you go to your friends and you say, hey, let's go there, we'll go work for Mr. X, and he's got a job for you. And when they arrive, I say, welcome, there's a job, go work there, there's your paycheck, go home, I'll see you in January.
Right. Now, these people are paying federal tax or state tax if they apply.
Yes.
They're paying FICA.
They're paying all of those taxes.
But they're not collecting anything.
No, they don't.
No. In fact, most of them, contrary to popular belief,
sure.
most of them don't collect anything at all. In fact, they're a plus to the economic system and to the Social Security system.
No, hang around, because you know where that money goes, don't you?
The money that they make?
The money that they pay into Social Security through FICA and stuff. You know where that goes,
don't
you?
That just goes into a general fund.
It goes to the suspense fund, not the general fund. That money is sitting on one side and no one's touching it. It's in the billions. We manage that fund. We pay for that fund to be managed, and that money is not allocated. We can't use it.
I'm lost now. You mean Social Security?
Oh, you're gonna love this.
There's actually a fund. There is
a suspense fund.
Well, but there is no money in the suspense fund.
Oh yes, there is. There's billions in the suspense fund. They just can't allocate it.
I never heard that before.
I'm going to refer you to a very nice gentleman by the name of Ed Hardesty.
Okay.
Who is the manager of the Social Security office here in Tulsa. He'll tell you all about the suspense fund. When prior to around 1996, 97, anybody who wants to get a Social Security number got a Social Security number. It's an accounting function, right?
Correct.
It's not a form of ID. However, we've turned it into a form of ID.
Correct.
Right? So, the moment it became a form of ID and everybody started saying, well, hang on a second, you know, we're now getting credit cards and all these fancy transactions online, Social Security numbers required, suddenly now it has value. So, if you're an undocumented alien coming in, you have to have a Social Security card, and the federal government won't give you one anymore.
Right.
So what do? You go to the street corner, and somebody on the street corner will sell you, in LA you used to be able to buy a driver's license, Social Security card, and a temporary work card or a green card. It would cost you about $90. You'd have it in half an hour.
Okay, I see what you mean. I see where you're going. Okay.
Okay, so now I'm an undocumented alien. I came up from, I don't know, pick a kind of Nicaragua, right? And I'm here, I crossed the border without permission. I've got no right to be here. I have no right to work here. I've got employment at a company that loves me to death because they can't find an American to do whatever horrible job it is I'm doing, right? Every month, they take out money and they pay it off. That money goes on my fake Social Security card, right, which means the number does not match the name.
Right.
Which means the Social Security Administration can't put it into the general fund.
I agree. Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. Now I am with you. I thought all of a sudden there was a fund being established that I was not familiar with. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with this fund, but it makes sense because in business, that's what we do. When we can't find it, we put it in a suspense fund. Absolutely right.
And do you know how much it must cost to run? Now, every... Up until about 2002, 2003, Baltimore, the head of the Social Security Administration, reckoned, okay, if you get a company that's got more than 10 mismatched numbers coming in on a regular basis, send them a letter saying, look, you know, you've got a problem, you've got to sort this out.
Correct, yeah.
Come and talk
to
us.
Be a good red flag for the government saying, here's where the...
Right. After that, after about 2000, I think it's either 2003, 2004, end of 2003, beginning 2004, they started saying, whenever you get any mismatch number, you send a letter.
That's got to be, hundreds of thousands of letters.
Right, going out.
Who was sending these letters? Illegal aliens?
Probably. Same people that are building the fence on the border.
That has got to be an administrative nightmare.
Well, never mind that. How much is that costing the taxpayer?
Unbelievable, right?
Who's paying for that? Out of what fund? I have no idea. But it doesn't make me very happy.
Well, then if I was someone in the government, and I hate to say the government because we use that, it's like they.
Well, it's actually us.
I really like illegal immigration because all this money is coming in and I'll never have to account for it. I mean, account for it, but I will never have to pay it out.
Correct.
Because these people don't exist. So I can speak I can talk a good game, but I really don't want that game to end, do I?
No, you don't. And you've got a whole labor force here that you can get rid of whenever you want.
Right.
You don't have to worry about pension plans. You don't have to worry about welfare. You don't have to worry about any of it.
Now, I go back to my original premise. Is not immigration, illegal immigration, really a solution looking for a problem?
No.
Why not?
Because you've got to take the human factor into this, and these people need to, anybody, I don't care who they are, they need to be treated with dignity.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying I wouldn't say from our perspective because that sounds elitist. I'm referring to our definition of the problem, saying that there really is not a problem. There's a problem for those people who have to cross that desert, those that die. And don't get me wrong, I sympathize with those people. I have a lot of Mexican friends, and
It's wrong.
You know, it's wrong. We should fix it, and we shouldn't build a wall, which would make it, you know, it reminds me of, I tell people when I speak, when I get a chance to speak professionally, sure. I say I never charge anyone for coming in to listen to me, but I charge them a hell of a lot to leave, you know. But that's an old stand-up comedy joke, but it's the same thing applies sure. here.
So you don't really want a border. You don't really want a boundary. What you want is a frontier that is managed. And if people have a mechanism of getting a visa, of coming into the employer, working for the employer is responsible for that person, the person at the end of it goes home, and once people trust the system and know the system works,
okay,
you're not going to have a problem anymore.
All right, let me ask you this. In your opinion,
sure.
if a person, and it doesn't have to be, we pick on the poor Mexicans. I hate that, you know, but you know, because it's
well,
so
they're
up
our next door neighbor, and I mean
that's right. And we put
and you know what? Here's the other sad part about it. Anybody that comes from Central or South America
is Mexican.
They look like they're Mexican. They're Mexican.
They're automatically Mexican, and I know they're not.
I heard one state senator asking somebody from Puerto Rico whether they've got their papers yet or not. But I was born in Puerto Rico. Well, what's your legal status? I mean, hello? They're actually a U.S. citizen. But,
that's right.
You know.
Well, I was born in New York, and when I sang doo-wop back in the 50s, my second tenor, Carlos, was a Puerto Rican. And I had a lot of Puerto Rican friends. But I think I forgot my question.
Well, that was the whole purpose of the talk, wasn't it? I'm off the hook.
My question was this. If, in fact, a person who wanted to come here...
Sure.
knew that there was no job for them, would they risk their lives?
No.
No. Okay. Now, would not that stand to reason that then immigration is regulated naturally by job availability?
Yes.
Then quotas don't serve any purpose.
Correct.
Okay, well, geez, I've got so much agreement there. I don't know what to say.
I love watching the talk shows like Face the Nation, and I hate it when you ask somebody a question and they never answer the question. You know, 15 minutes of speech which goes around in circular moments and they never ask. The answer is yes, you're right.
Right. Well, on one of my broadcasts, I think it was the last one when I talked about the 700-mile fence, I asked my listeners, I said, I'd like to ask you a question. Now, obviously, not all how many people sure. are listening are going to come in and answer. I said, I expect no one to answer, and please don't, because if you all did, we'd type the phones. But what is the length of the border between the United States and Mexico? And I said, I'll bet most of you sitting there saying, obviously 700 miles, that's how long. It's 1,951 miles.
Yeah.
And then I asked another question. What is the largest border between two countries in the world? Now, see, I thought it was like Mongolia and China or Soviet Union, and surprisingly, it's the United States and Canada, and there's not one inch of fence between there, between those two nations. I said, well, if I was a terrorist wanting to get in, what would I do? Go through Vancouver. I mean, I just walk right over. So it doesn't really serve a purpose. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Very good. See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm correct for the first time in my life. And in fact, I'm glad this is being recorded. My wife has to listen to this. I told her someday I will be correct.
You know, if you think about this, right, that we're now going to build a section of fence line. They're starting a 28-mile strip in Arizona near Yuma. You can't build it on any more than the 10% grade. So we're talking about flat desert. So the only purpose that this can serve is to try and stop people from wandering into the desert and dying. And I don't think I say this with the greatest of respect to the federal government, I don't think that factors into their policy considerations when they made this. And I know that the federal government doesn't want people wandering around and dying in the deserts, but I don't think that's on the top of their list.
That's correct. Yeah.
So if we're building a fence on the Mexico-US border, and we're not building one on Canada, on the Canadian-US border, is this because the Mexican influx is so bad? Or is it because they are fundamentally, noticeably different? And I hear a lot of this. I do not want my suburb turning into Tijuana. So you really have to dig deep and say, what is the purpose of trying to stop
these people from coming up? Is it because we don't want to live with them? You know, it's great, they're a convenience, they can come work, but then they must go home. Or is it a case of, I don't want to surrender the Southwest back to Mexico? As it is, according to the Bureau of Census, the white male is now the minority population in Texas. And I'm sure it's the same in Southern California. So I think a lot of people are scared. And I think that's what fuels us.
I agree. And we have to think back. I lived in, well, a modified a ghetto in New York. It was an Italian ghetto. There was Chinatown, right?
Sure.
Right? There was the Irish section of New York. There was the Jewish part of New York. And they were
the Italian section.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were all, and they spoke their languages, and they were all separate, and each one was different. This is a little bit larger, but the principle holds true. Eventually they assimilated. Everything that I've read says that the Latino population, I guess that's a good term, sure, the Latino population is assimilating percentage-wise at the same rate as any other immigrant that has ever come to
this country.
Yeah. And so the fear, tell me if I'm right or wrong from your perspective, the fear that they're going to come here and turn Texas into a suburb of Mexico is not founded.
No, it's not. But the fear is real.
Right, the fear is real. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Would you like to make any closing statements? We've gone for 30 minutes. This is terrific.
Well, you know, if the United States is governed by the people, and whatever the people really feel they want and need, they need to tell their congressmen, because that's what they're there for. It's their representatives. So don't sit at home and complain about this. If you're not happy with what's, and I'm talking about you, Joe, I'm talking about the people sitting out there listening. If you're not happy with the state of affairs, then you need to let your congressman know. Let your House of Representatives and your senator, let them know.
Right.
This is what I want.
Right.
And if you're not getting it, ask them why I'm not getting it. You know, they deal with everybody, and unfortunately, each individual is not going to get everything that they want. That's the joys of a democracy. You know, you get what the general mean want.
That's right.
But I truly believe that what sets the American people apart from the rest of the world is the fact that they are hardworking, generous people. And I do not believe that what we're seeing at the moment represents who they really are. I don't believe it.
Okay.
That's my 5 cents worth.
Well, a great closing. I want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening. This has been fascinating. I'm sure our audience has learned something tonight, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of questions. And if I do get some questions that I can't answer, I may forward them on to
you. Please do. I'll send you an answer.
Okay, very good. And I would like, if they have an opportunity to speak to the Latino community, I would love to do that myself. Okay?
I'd love to invite you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cook, and thank you for being here. And we're going to sign off here in a second.
There you go.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their support. I'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And don't forget to send your comments, your criticisms, and your questions to liberty@starofthebeast.net. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.